everybody. Welcome to the Baywatch Podcast. I am one of your hosts, Mr. Span, and this is episode number 15 of the Baywatch Podcast. And I'm here with my lovely wife, Mrs. Span. Say what's up to the people, baby.
Hi.
Oh, man, I thought she was going to hit them with the flourish, babe. Oh. I thought she was going to give them with the flourish, like, what's up, everybody?
No.
Like, all those, like, tech YouTubers and shit. Like, they come out with so much energy.
What it do, baby?
Yeah. So, we told you guys we will be reviewing Life After Lockup, and that's what we're here to do tonight. This is episode 2 of Life After Lockup, and we're going to start with that here shortly. But before we do, I want to go ahead and I want to thank again the people who have supported the Spare and Poor Podcast Network through our Patreon, man. Dre, Muddy, Kimberly Billups. I'm sorry, Kimberly B. Sorry. And Stacy. I'm sorry. I want to thank you guys for signing up for the Patreon, man. For those of you who have told me what mug you want, it's on the way. It's already on the way. So I'm waiting on a couple of you guys to get back to me. Let me know what you need or what you want. But those mugs are on their way. We appreciate everybody who has contributed to the Patreon. And for those of you who will contribute later on, we appreciate you guys as well. But yeah, I wanted to start off the show by really thanking those folks who are really putting on for the Spare and Poor Podcast Network in a really big way. But yeah, it is episode 2. And before we get started, let me remind you guys how to get in touch with us over here at the Baywatch Podcast and let your voice be heard. Go ahead and hit up that hotline at area code 313-288-0485. That's area code 313-288-0485. Leave those voicemail messages. We will replay them here on the show and respond to you guys right here on the show. You can also email us here at feedback@thebaywatchpod.com. That's feedback@thebaywatchpod.com. Leave us those emails, and we will read those emails here live on the show and respond to you as well. Follow me on Twitter. My name on there is Mr_Span, and my lovely wife's Twitter is?
Podcast Bay.
Go ahead and follow her.
I have something to say.
Go ahead, babe.
Like a long time ago, I said when I got to 50 followers, I'll do like a giveaway. But I want to make sure that it is like listeners, not just like random people who follow me because of like things that I tweet or whatever.
Okay.
So I wanted it to be for the listeners. So I'm going to figure out some kind of way. I'll figure out some kind of way for like there to be like a, you guys could comment on a tweet or send me something and I'll like randomly draw and send someone a special prize or something like that. So I'll figure it out and I'll let you guys know next week.
Look at that. I'm just saying, there's some benefits to fucking with us over here at the Spare and Poor Podcast Network. That's all I'm saying. But yeah, do that and follow her. It's a very it's a very entertaining follow, to say the least. You know what I'm saying? You can go to our website, www.thebaywatchpod.com. You can go there. You can listen to replays of the show. You can rate movies. After we do a review of a movie, we leave it up for you guys to actually kind of rate those movies. And you can do that. You can leave comments there. You can donate to the show as often as you like, as much as you like. And, of course, we really do appreciate every dime over here at the Spare and Poor Podcast Network. You can also hit us up on the Patreon, of course, like I mentioned to folks before. Hit us up on the Patreon. That's more of a commitment. That's more of a commitment because that's a once-a-month thing. So we really do appreciate you guys who do that. You can do that at the website. And you can also hit up our store and get yourself some merch, get like some stickers or whatever, a coffee mug or like a t-shirt or whatnot. There's a whole lot of things you can do over at the website. And that's where you can go for everything Spare and Poor Podcast Network related and specifically for the Baywatch Podcast. But it's time for us to get into our review of episode 2 of Life After Lockup. And, this particular episode was, what was the name of this one? I had it pulled up. Jesus. Oh, Truth and Lies. That's what it was. Truth and Lies. And I think a lot of this really had to do with, you know, the Megan, Michael, and Sarah love triangle.
I mean, honestly, like, the only story that we're all truly here for.
You think so?
Yes! I mean, I think we all are here to laugh at motherfucking Clint and motherfucking Crack and Tracy. And we're all here to hear about fucking Megan, Michael, Sarah.
I don't know. I think the Scott and Lizzie thing got people kind of going too.
Did nobody give a fuck about about Lizzie, her raggedy wig, them weird ass titties. Nobody cares.
I'm sure someone does, baby. I'm sure somebody's like, you know what? That's my favorite storyline.
No.
Maybe not yours. Maybe not even mine. But I'm just saying.
Is it?
No, it's not. I mean, because I think what's happening with Scott is actually quite fucking sad, to be quite honest with you. I think he's just like a sad individual. Same thing I think about Clint, but we'll get into a lot of that as we do the review. But so we start this episode with Megan meeting up with, well, she didn't exactly try to meet up with Michael's mom and sister, but that's what happened. She was waiting on him to come out of jail, and his mom and sister were already there. Well, she was there. She was first there. His mom and sister pull up, and instantly, like, it's kind of animosity. Like, oh, here she go. What's she doing here? And Michael's sister, Day-Day, does not like Megan. They've had, like, some issues and shit on social media. They're going back and forth, and Day-Day is on, she's of the mindset of like, yo, you know Michael's married, he's got a wife, like, what the fuck are you doing here? And Megan is like, you don't know what Michael has been telling me. With that particular relationship, like, how do you, who do you feel like has, like, the, I don't know, the upper hand, so to speak, like, morally in the argument?
Morally?
I mean, morally, we all know, but.
That's not a good, morally. It's not.
Who do you think, like, has the best point, I should say, then? Like,
neither. Because I think, for one, like, they both have faults.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah. Now, I mean, would I tell a girl, you know, if my brother was doing some fucked up shit, and would I go and tell the girl? Probably not. Family over everything. Mm. Regardless of, like, how close I am or whatever else, like, am I gonna actively be involved in the lie? No, but am I gonna reach out to the person and be like, hey girl, as a woman, I just need you to know, blah blah blah. No. Mm-hmm. It's not none of my business. Like, okay. So Megan being like, you know, one of y'all could have told me he was married and this, that, and the other, like, yeah, they could have, but that's not really their place.
Mm-hmm.
Like, whatever. Now, the little Day-Day, the little sister, acting all fucking pissy or whatever, like, that's just like some young teenage shit, like, whatever, like,
for the jump off.
Like, I get it if Day-Day was like mad in the sense of like she was really offended that like now Megan fully knows, you know, that Michael and Sarah is married and stuff like that, then it'd be one thing, but that's not even her point. Her point is that Megan so-called disrespected her on online or whatever else. So it's like, so girl, like, girl, your hairstyle is disrespectful, so get the fuck out of here. Like, I don't see it for her. I don't see it for Carolyn and her drawstring ponytail coming and getting in the car talking about, I just want to speak to you real briefly. Like, I don't see it for any of Michael's family.
Yeah, see, the thing with Michael's family is, like, for one, I think they don't really want to get caught in the middle of it. And
I think the mom doesn't want to be caught in the middle. I think the sister is young.
And she just want to be in the middle of the shit.
Yeah.
Like, she, you know, and I think, you know, she's a teenager. She's young. You know, she don't really know how to handle those types of situations. Not that anybody should really know how to handle those types, because nobody should really be in that kind of situation. But I think, like, his mom specifically was like, I'm not really trying to be in the middle of this shit. My son got a really fucked up situation going on. Let's just keep this shit, like, simple.
Like, you don't come in
the house. Don't come in my house. Like, you know this dude married. And I think this is the thing, I think we alluded to this the last episode, where, like, at this point, Megan continuing to, like, have a relationship with Michael after finding out this dude has a wife that is pregnant. Like, her continuing to pursue this was making her lose a lot of people. Before, people were kind of on her side because, like, well, she didn't know that this dude was married and had a baby on the way. She knew he had a kid, and she knew he was trying to be close to his kid because of what he was telling her, but the whole married thing, she didn't. And so for her to continue this on with her now knowing it is, like, I think it's like, all right, girl, what you doing?
I mean, yeah, I guess I could kind of see both sides, because if he's telling her all these things, like, you know, I'm going to get a divorce and whatever, whoop-de-woo. Like, she's dumb for falling for that. Like, mm-hmm. That's like a classic. Everyone mm-hmm. knows you don't fucking fall for that shit. But from the way that Michael and Sarah, their brief little interaction kind of towards the end of the episode where she was kind of like cussing him out or whatever. And he was like, do you want a divorce? Like, it was just kind of like, I think part of what Michael is going through is that he may, not to say that he doesn't even have like deep feelings or whatever for Sarah. I think that he probably has some sort of like, he has a connection with her because he has two kids and like she's been there for him or whatever.
Right.
But I think like the relationship has kind of faded. Like he might not be that deep in love with her. I don't know.
I don't think he's in love with her at all.
I don't either.
I think she's convenient and she's comfortable for
him. And I don't think, but the thing is also, I don't know whether I believe that he's really in love with Megan either. I think he was probably more so in love with the idea and the attention and whatever else. But I think upon like getting out, kind of coming to that realization that like, okay, now I have to choose, like this is real. It's not just like this, you know, girl, you know, being cute on the phone with me or whatever. Like, it's just, we just don't know. Like, we don't know. We only see bits and pieces of course, of what he's telling either of, like, either one of them. But to me, the way he was behaving towards and about Sarah made it seem like he wasn't really fucking her like that.
So here's the thing. And when we rewatched this, it was something that I was like, ah, I'm gonna save it. So Day-Day told Sarah that, yo, Megan is up here, girl. Like, she up here picking this motherfucker up from jail and everything. And, you know, Sarah's in New York. She's pregnant. She's out with her girls and whatever. And I think they were doing, like, some baby shopping or something like that. And, you know, after she gets that message, Michael calls her. And he's not knowing that his sister then put his wife up on the fact that, like, yo, he up here with a side chick right now.
Mm-hmm.
And she calls him. He's acting like all surprised at the fact that, like, yo, she's upset. She's agitated with him. He's like, what's all this about? And she turns this blunt, like, yo, so you up there with your girl? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, what's this? Why don't you keep it real with me? You telling me you love me. You telling me you want us to have this family, this, that, and the other. But you got all this going on. And it got to a point where you alluded to where he was like, do you want a divorce? And I think at that particular moment, that would have been exactly what he wanted.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I think like when she said it's over, I'm done, that was his out.
Yeah.
And that's why he was like, that's why when she said that, he was like, yo, so we ain't got to be, you know what I'm saying? We ain't got to, because he already got somebody else in the, you know, in the wayside. So he like, yo, if you want to go ahead and end this, we can end this. And then I could just go ahead and be with her. But I think that's what it was, is like, he's trying to play it as if this is over, is because you made it over. To where it's not his fault. Well, like, he'll feel like, it's not my fault, it's over. You said you was done, therefore there's no reason for us to continue on. And it in his mind, thinking it absolves him of all the bullshit that he's been putting both of these women through.
I mean, I also think a lot of it is like, I don't know, for some reason I could kind of get behind him being like, I'm going to do all this so I can keep in contact with my daughter and like be around my kids and stuff like that. Because she just strikes me as that type of girl that's going to be like, you don't want to be with me. You can't see your kids, like whatever else. And then also with them, not even them living so far apart, like him being in Michigan, her being all the way in New York with the kids and stuff like that. It's like, if he doesn't kind of pacify her and kind of, you know, make it all good with her, I think he's probably also afraid he's not gonna see his kids anymore. But that doesn't give him a pass to be like lying or whatever else. Like, he did kind of give it like a little bit of clarity when he kind of like was getting out of the Megan's little car or whatever. It was like, I am gonna call Sarah, like whatever. Like, he seemed like he was kind of being a little bit honest, but I think he's gonna continue to string both of them along, because Sarah's in a vulnerable position, because she is about to have his a second child, and she's alone, and you know, whatever else. So she's kind of in a vulnerable position where, of course, she wants her, you know, the kid's dad to be there. Of course she does.
Yeah.
Who wouldn't want that? Like, no matter what, of course she wants him to be there. But you can tell she's kind of reaching a point where she's getting tired of this.
Yeah. The thing that you mentioned, though, about him being a little bit more, like, open and upfront with, like, the whole thing about calling Sarah, mm-hmm. I think that only happened because Megan was on his head at the restaurant asking him, like, you know, giving him the 30 questions. Like, so, do you want to be with her? Are you planning on getting a divorce? How many other girls were you talking to? You know, when she was giving him that riot act, I think he was just more so like, okay, just to keep the shit down, I am going to call Sarah. You know what I'm saying? I don't think he really wanted to volunteer that information, but even in the car, she was like, so what you gonna do when you get in there? Like, she knew what it was gonna be.
Yeah, and then it's hard because, you know, his daughter is young, he has to call Sarah to talk to his daughter. So regardless of whether he wants to talk to Sarah in whatever way, he still has to call her phone in order to be able to get in contact with his child. Mm-hmm. So, and he's still gonna have to see her to see the new child. I'm sure he's gonna go down there, up there, whatever, he's gonna go be there for the child's birth, or try to at least, or something.
So I guess, like, the thing, you know, for them, like, right now as it stands, like, with Megan, like, if you see how messy this situation is right now, why would you want to continue to move forward in this? You know what I'm saying? Like, what? Like, if you already know what this is, you move, even though you say you're like, he can't pull the wool over your eyes anymore, this, that, and the other, you still took your ass up to Michigan from Texas to go meet this dude when he got out of jail. You could have had all these questions while you were over the phone. Like,
yeah, but the thing, I guess, I think she was kind of emphasizing the fact that, like, on the phone, he could kind of just, it's not like a regular relationship for you and I. If we get an argument on the phone or something and, like, one of us hangs up, I could sit there and just fucking call you back, or you could call me back, or, like, I'm gonna see you. But mm-hmm. when someone is in jail, like, that's, like, the ultimate, like, they can just avoid the shit out of you, because if he calls her, you know, or get on the JPay or whatever the fuck goes on, she can't, and he hangs up on her because she asks too many questions, or he, like, fucking goes off and then hangs up. She has to just fucking sit there. But she can type out a fucking email, but she can't call him back. She can't really get any, like, you know. But
all of that goes right back to my point, though, because that's like, yo, if he's gonna do that, then you got your answer as to whether or not this may be a good thing for you.
I think also it's like, there's something to be said for, like, sitting across from someone and, like, looking at them, because, like, somebody could be on the phone, you know, completely doing some fucking bullshit, but they're sitting there telling you, like, a fairy tale. Mm-hmm. So there's also something to be said for, like, looking someone dead in the face and being like, look, what is this? What's going on, or whatever. Mm-hmm. Now, she all over here talking about, I got to get all these answers and blah, 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 but she wasn't asking the right questions. Like, she just wasn't.
She would see, here's the other part. She wasn't asking the right questions because those are questions that she probably doesn't want the answer to. She probably knows the right questions to ask, but she really doesn't want to know the truth.
I don't think that she does.
I think she does.
I think, I don't know if it's just, like, the way that the show is, but she comes across quite, like, immature. And she comes across
stigmatized to me, if I'm being honest.
She just comes, to me, she came across immature before she even had sex with him. Like, she just comes across like that way. Like, mm-hmm. not a girl that has had a lot of boyfriends, not a girl that, like me personally, my friends joke with me and be like, I'm the feds. Anybody can be found. Anybody can be touched. I can find who and what you commented from someone 10 years ago. And now all of a sudden I'm on their page and I know where they work at and whatever the fuck else. Like, she doesn't seem like that type of girl.
She ain't lying.
She's just not that kind of girl. And I'm not alone in the way that I am. That's like how people are nowadays. Like, you got to know what to do and what to search and what to click and where to go. Uh-huh. She's not that kind of girl to where she's going to take that initiative or even think like that. Mm-hmm. She's kind of like a romantic. She wants to ask him face to face. She's going to try to, like, communicate and figure it out together and this, that, and the other. She's not going to take it upon herself to, like, let me see what he's doing and where he's going and this, that, and the other. Like, because a real bitch, like, this nigga just got out of jail. He don't have nothing. Okay, so what do? Get him an iPhone. Now, you set the bitch up. You can set it up so every time he gets a text message, the text message comes to you as well. Like, there's plenty of things that you could do if you were gonna, like, if you want to keep tabs on your dude, like, there's plenty of things that you could do, but she's not fucking, like, she has, to me, it's like she has the upper hand. Like, you're a free woman. You must have some sort of income or money because you getting plane tickets and rent cars and, yeah, you know what I'm saying, whatever else. So, like, why wouldn't she, like, put herself in more of a, if she was really that dedicated to the relationship or really, like, a smart bitch, why wouldn't she, like, put herself in more position of power? Mm. But she's just kind of, like, fucking sitting there with those dumb braids, like,
I just see Mike. When you talked about setting up his iPhone to where you get the text messages, that he, I just envisioned a whole bunch of women listening like, oh, yeah, girl, for real? I'm going to have to give me a tutorial on how I can do that.
Oh, yeah, I mean, there's plenty. But, I mean, not to be, like, that's unhealthy. Like, you shouldn't
Yeah, you really shouldn't have to do that.
The thing about that is, like, part of me is like, yeah, this is partially maybe their real life, but now this is season two. Like, you're on a TV show. You know you're on a TV show. They're playing shit up for a fucking TV show.
Yeah.
They're doing a lot of shit because they know they're on a TV show. So if it's me and I'm trying to be the fucking star, like motherfucking Larissa and Colty, Larissa fucking knows she's trying to be the fucking star of the shit. I'm going to be the fucking star and I'm going to fucking get in there. Well, she's not doing that. And I think that's also what it's so frustrating. Like, the way that they dragged out her and Sarah, Megan and Sarah, this big meetup. Mm-hmm. And then it was just so frustrating because, like, no one was really getting out anything. No one was really making any good points. Like, they didn't fight. Like, the way that they're dragging out this secret, it's going to be something dumb.
Yeah, I think the secret is really just going to be, like, she probably messed with somebody else at one point. I think that's what the secret is going to be.
You do?
Yeah, I think it's going to be like, yo, so I did have sex with somebody else. And so there's that.
I think the secret's going to, I don't think it's going to be something that severe. I think it's going to be something like, I talked to someone else that was in jail, too.
I think it's going to be like, while
you're in jail, I got a new, like, jail friend or something like that.
I could see that,
like,
too.
I've been talking, I don't think it's going to be like, she just went and, like, busted it wide, because she just is not, she not that type of.
I mean, we don't really know them like that.
No,
I mean,
but she just, I don't think it's going to be something like that. I think, I just definitely don't think it's going to be that severe.
Well, we're going to see. We're going to see. But that's,
Oh, and also, I know on Twitter, everybody, we was letting fucking Sarah have it talk about,
the black scent.
Well, the black scent, that black scent needs its own fucking storyline. That black scent. Ooh, child, that black scent is funny.
Man, but when she gets mad, it comes out. Only when she talks to him and, like, well, yeah, when she talks to him and when she talks to Megan, that's when it comes out. Yeah.
But when Sarah referred to Megan as, like, his fat-ass girlfriend, and here we are looking at Sarah, big, wide-ass, like, bitch, you got some goddamn nerve. But apparently, she was on Twitter or Instagram defending herself, saying, like, she gained 100 pounds with her pregnancy, and, like, that's not how she really looks, and she's just embarrassed of being on TV like that or whatever else. But, like, girl...
Well, I'm gonna say this too, though, because as you look at the show, it's giving you everybody's ages in this shit too. Sarah is, like, kind of young too.
So what?
I'm just saying, like,
so because she's young, people call each other fat.
No, I'm not even making an excuse for her. I'm just saying that, like, yo, she's young in the sense that, like, she feels like she needs to go to social media to make that
I mean, that's the way and the way, the truth and the light of this day and age.
So I'm just attributing that to her being young. Like, I think she's only like 24.
But the thing is, where else would she go to defend herself?
She didn't have to say, like, she really didn't have to talk to anybody. Like,
but I think the premise...
She doesn't have to engage in any of the social media shenanigans surrounding the show. I mean, I get the draw of it and I get the want to defend yourself and shit. But truth be told, because it's the internet and because everybody is watching this shit and because everybody's going to have an opinion about it, I feel like if you're going to be on a show like that, you kind of have to step back from the social media.
But I think that's the nature of the beast these days. Like, any show that you can think of, at least one time, especially any reality show, at least one time, someone has gone on and something has happened. Someone has gone on to social media and, like, made a little iOS press release or, like, went on a little rant or whatever else. Like, that just made me think about when Love and Hip Hop Miami and that Jessie Wu girl, like, how she kind of went on social media and, like, was ranting about how, like, they were portraying her, how they were making the whole storyline up and, like, you know, that show, there's, it's not going to come back, I don't think. But, well, I mean, it's just, like, I think that's the nature of, especially with a reality show, that's, like, the nature of the, that's how you communicate, because they filmed the show months ago. Mm-hmm. Like, this has come and gone. So now, a lot there, especially with a show like this, they're watching it at the same time as we are.
Yeah.
So they're reacting with us. So I don't see a problem with her going on social media to, like, kind of defend herself or to, like, to clear things up. I think that kind of adds another, like, element to the show.
Isn't the immersion.
Because, I mean, when you watch, like, Real Housewives, they, a lot of times, they've already seen it. Like, some of them, like, especially if you are one of the people, like, NeNe, she sees the show before everybody else sees, before we see the show. So she's not online with us, you know, reacting. But I mean, with this low budget fucking operation.
Well, you know what the funny thing is too, like with like the blogs and everything else, especially surrounding like these reality TV shows and whatnot. Like, I'm always amazed at like when they say, well, such and such, like these two people are having a feud. And then you go to the, like the blog article or whatever, and you're like, well, they unfollowed each other on Instagram. It's like, nigga, how you know? Like, how y'all keeping track of that kind of shit?
That's something that, there are, it's not like you're have to look through all their followers. You just go, especially on Instagram, you just go to their followers and you search. So, like, if you're interested to know, or if you already have it, like, that's like me saying, like, you and...
So, are they doing it every day, though?
No! That's like, if some shit came out and, like, you and Rod were having a fucking feud, right? I wouldn't be searching every single day previous to that to see if y'all follow each other, but if I look and I see some shit went down on a podcast, and then I just wonder, I'm gonna go fucking search and see, do y'all follow each other? And then that's how I would find out. I'll just search, like, you know, your followers, search his name, and be like, oh, he unfollowed him. Let me, like, I don't think that they're just keeping tabs on that every day. I think that they're keeping their, like, their, it's like the pulse of the situation.
I guess, man. I just always.
And I mean, also, show like TMZ and shit, like, they have interns.
Yeah,
shit like that all day.
I get it. I just, like, it just weirded me out every time, like, I see something like that. Like, they're, like, you'll have a whole article written about two people feuding, and you base it basically on they don't follow each other on social media anymore.
I mean, that's, you know. You know, 2019, so baby.
I guess. But that's enough for Sarah, Michael, and Megan. We're going to move on to Marcelino and Brittany. So, I don't know. Brittany is feeling a bit overwhelmed.
Yeah.
She's you know, she's out of jail. She's a mom. She's, you know, she's got two kids, and she's trying to take care of two kids. And Marcelino.
And a dog.
You know, got to talk about the puppy.
Pit bull mix.
Got to talk about the puppy babies. And Marcelino is starting up a new job as a poker player.
Yeah, he wants to have a career. And I mean, I think, don't they live in Las Vegas?
They live in Las Vegas.
So I think that's something that's normal. Like, that's not something, that's something that's abnormal to us, even though we have casinos here. But that's something that's, I was reading online, that's something that's very normal, is that people try to make a career out of, like, they try to go professional, and, like, they try to start out and they make a thing of trying to be a poker player.
Well, the thing, I guess I would, you know, because I'm not necessarily very knowledgeable about how to go about becoming a professional poker player.
You gotta win a lot, I guess.
And that's my thing. I'm like, so you gotta basically have some money to put up in order to get in these games, in order to be viable as a player. And so, like, how much, like, is, you know, like, you gotta put your money in order to even play.
I mean, it takes money to make money.
Yeah, but I'm saying it's not the traditional 9-to-5 is what I'm saying.
No, I think that we did discuss before that he's been in the military, so I think he probably, a lot of people that have been in the military, unless you're, like, dishonorably discharged, and he was a model.
Yeah, maybe.
So, I'm thinking, he seems like the type of person that has some funds stacked up.
Maybe.
He may not be, you know, wealthy or whatever, but I think that he not out here just,
I just thought it was odd. You know,
he wouldn't go get a regular job.
Like, damn, dog, you got a wife and two kids at the crib. Like, you going to try to be a poker player, nigga? Like,
I mean, I think that he's, what they're saying is, like, he is playing poker. Like, playing poker is making money doing that, but he wants to, when he says he wants to have a career, I think he means more along the lines of, like, when you see them poker games on, like, ESPN
World Series of Poker, yeah, where they're playing, like, for big stakes and all that other stuff.
Yeah, he's trying to build that kind of career, which I didn't really care so much about that. I was just like, all right, whatever. Like,
I just thought it was odd. Like, that's all. But basically, the conversation with them was stemming around how funny, not only like how she feels overwhelmed with the fact that she's a housewife and the responsibilities that come with that, but his lack of like,
because he's not attention. There at night.
Yeah, he's not home at night, and she's like, "Yo, I'm here with the baby, and you're not here." And he's like, "Well, you know, it takes money to make money. I got to spend time out here at the casino in order for us to have. Otherwise, you know, he's like, basically, I'm the primary breadwinner.
Yeah.
So if I don't go out here and do this, then we don't have any money. So this is what it's got to be." How did you feel about that though? Like, you know, the idea that like, yo, so I got to be out here when. Like I said, although he, you know, he, like you said, he may have some money from being an ex-military person, yeah. But like, yo, there's like that. I don't know. Is it, do you feel like he's being unfair to her?
No,
no.
I mean, she's talking about like, let's work on the schedule and whatever else. And like, while I don't have kids, I guess I can kind of understand. Like people say, you know, if you have like a fussy baby, like nighttime is hard because like you're tired and whatever else.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and then she had, I guess they have her son is with them a lot too. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I get that she's tired and stuff like that, but that's always been like a weird thing to me when women like I may miss you while you're at work and I'm at home.
Mm-hmm.
And I may like say to you like, oh, I wish you didn't have to go to work. But like, I'm just saying out loud, like, I wish that, yeah, like, of course I wish that we could just like hang out and like kick it all day or whatever else. But like, I know in my mind, like, you gotta go to work because like, we gotta get money. Like, we gotta pay for shit. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? But people who really be mad at their husband for like being at work, but like, do you want to have dinner? Like, do you want to fucking, you want these lights? Like, you want to go places? You want food for your kids? Like, whatever else is like, to me, like, that's just common sense. Like, the more that he's at work, the more money. Mm-hmm. And like, I like money. Like, yes, I love you and I want to be with you, but like, I also like to have central air conditioning in my home. So like, I don't get that. Like, I get like, she's probably really tired and, you know, the baby, and that can be hard to be doing that all alone or whatever else. But it's like, it'd be the same thing if this nigga just had a job where like he worked nights. Yeah. And that's what a lot of people in Vegas, like, they're in the service industry, and like, that's like a nighttime city.
Yeah.
So like, it'd be the same thing if he had a job and he worked nights, you know, like, I think, you know, maybe she needs to, I don't know what, now, I don't know what she could do. I think he could probably help out more during the day to let her rest.
Uh-huh.
And whatever else. But I think I honestly didn't really care about that whole conversation. She's so into these two friends that she has, and he's so against them, and that's mm-hmm. kind of like their main thing is like this clash of like, he doesn't like Amanda and Sasha, the friends mm-hmm. that she met in jail. And I think that he made a really good point. Like, he's like, I'm married to you, not them. Mm-hmm. I really don't give a fuck about them.
Mm-hmm.
But she like keeps trying to push this on him. Like, she wants him to like them, and she wants them to be. To be cool, and she wants them around and stuff like that. And it's like, it sucks to say, but like, god damn it, Marcelino, you made me see your fucking point. Like, he is.
Did he?
Yes. I think that he's coming from a place of, he is really, really afraid to lose her. Mm. He's afraid that she's gonna go back to jail.
Mm.
I think, yeah, it comes across, if you just looking at it off top, it comes across like he's controlling, he doesn't want her to have any friends, he doesn't want her to do this and the other. But he's never said anything about any other friend or like,
we haven't seen any other
that's
friends.
The thing, like, why can't you bring some other friends around that aren't ex-cons?
Maybe she doesn't have any. So here's the thing, like, when she was talking about, you know, the fact that he isn't home, I think the fact that like she sees these other two, she has these friends, maybe these friends could help her when he's not home, you know what I'm saying? And he's very resistant to have them around.
Yeah.
And that's a concern for her, because she's like, yo, okay, so I got two people that I probably could depend on to help me with this when you're not here, but you're very resistant to keep, you know, to have them around here because of your feelings about the fact that they were their ex-cons. But you,
the fact that Amanda was her girlfriend.
I get that, but I'm also saying, like, he's got this idea, like, oh, so they're ex-cons, so you don't want me around them. He has this thing about, well, they were ex-cons, But your wife is an ex-con also.
But I think it seems like he is, like, taking the whole, like, when you're on parole, the whole, I always hear, like.
I don't think she's on parole anymore.
It's, like, felon, you're not supposed to be around, like, if you're a felon, you're on parole, you're not supposed to be around another felon.
I don't think
so. So I think he's carrying that idea throughout this, that he thinks that they're a bad influence. And I can also see his point when it comes to Sasha, even though. If I was going to pick anyone between Sasha and Amanda for her to be around, I would have picked Sasha because they had a platonic close friendship. But Sasha is fighting an open fucking, like, murder case or some shit like that. Mm-hmm. So, of course, like, not the kind of shit that you want your wife and kid to be around.
See, the thing with Marcelino, where I'm really not, like, giving him that benefit of the doubt, is because of what we've seen of him already.
Yeah.
And Marcelino comes across as a dude who's very fucking controlling. And so when he starts talking about, you know, her friends, it seems as though he's trying to isolate her from her friends, from her support group or whatever it is, so that he can exert more control over how she does things and who she can be around and what she can do. That's how it comes across because of how he's presented himself up to this point.
But I think there was he made mention of, like, he's married to her. He has to trust her, and I think that his problem is not trusting her. I think his problem is trusting the other people, which I can relate to because have I ever had any friends that you didn't like, a friend that you didn't like?
No.
See,
you had a friend that was talking shit about me, but she didn't fucking know me. That was the only
okay. So,
but I never disliked her. I was just like, damn, she said that about me. Why?
Okay. Shit. Well, you have had friends, and you have friends that I don't really care for, mm-hmm. and you have friends that want you to go on a group trip out of town somewhere that I don't fucking agree with. And it's not because I don't trust you. Mm-hmm. It's I don't trust them. Mm-hmm. And while in my head, I know, and I know how you are, if you don't want to do some shit, you fucking flat out not gonna do it. Like, no one can make you do anything. I can't even fucking make you go to bed earlier. So, no one can make you do anything that you don't really want to do. So, it's not that I feel him in a sense of, like, yeah, I trust you, but I don't trust them motherfuckers. And, like, if I don't, like, I don't, you have friends that I'm not really the biggest fan of. Mm-hmm. So, like, of course, if I gotta pick and choose, I'm gonna say, nah, I don't want you fucking going and being around them. Go be around this one. Mm-hmm. Like, obviously. So, like, but I can kind of feel him there.
I guess the thing is, like, I don't feel, it doesn't seem as though Brittany has a lot of people that she can turn to. And so this is part of the reason why she's so insistent upon those two particular friends being able to be around, because she doesn't have a lot of people that she could turn to outside of him.
Yeah.
And I think she's, you know, she's trying to have something outside of him.
Yeah.
Where, like, she's like, okay, I can be comfortable around these people. I can trust these people. Yeah, you may not necessarily like them, but, you know, these are my friends, you know, and I love these people. And I just think that's what that is. I just think she's on something like, yo, I don't have anything else outside of you, and I don't want it to just be just you.
Yeah. I guess, like, I can see a lot of where Marcelino comes from. I just think that his delivery and the way that he, like, says things,
and the way he has kind of behaved before.
Yeah, I mean, I think he comes across wrong, but I think at the root of it all is, like, he's scared to lose her. He's really, really, really scared for her to go back to jail or to go to prison. I think he's really scared of her messing up and then, you know, leaving, and now they have a baby. Mm-hmm. He really, really, it's like he really loves her. Mm-hmm. While he may be controlling, chauvinist, like, he may be all of those things, I think at the root of it, he just really cares for Brittany, and he just doesn't want to lose her.
Okay, we gonna see. Because, I don't know, though. They didn't really, like, project a whole lot of stuff for their particular storyline. Yeah,
I think the last season when they were at that party and Brittany was like, I'm about to beat this bitch ass. Like, that's a big bitch. Like, she done did prison jail time. Like, while Brittany is cool as shit, but, like, that's a big bitch. And she got prison tattoos and shit. Like, now she coming down the street talking about, I'm about to beat your ass. Like, that might not be the motherfucking one where I'm gonna square up. You know what I'm saying? Like, she ain't no fucking, she ain't no punk. Like, she ain't no just, you know, little whatever type chick. Like, that's a fucking big stand up in the middle of the road ass woman.
We got it.
Shit. So, there may be some fucking surprises.
Okay. Oh, man. I wouldn't expect that one. Moving on. We gonna, Clint and, what's that lady's name again?
Tracy.
Clint and Tracy. So, check this out, man. Y'all know Clint as the motherfucking crack guy. And Tracy is his wife. Did they get married? Yeah, they got married.
Well, I don't know if they're...
They're still married.
But like, okay, so you know how like when you get married, like you gotta take the marriage certificate and blah 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 blah.
Oh yeah,
but like, so I don't know if they even ever did that because she ran away.
I don't know.
So wherever they got married, I don't know if that could have been like maybe they do it for you. So I don't know if I think they are married.
They got it because like even like when she was locked up, like he was talking to lawyers and stuff like that. Yeah. They were talking about how it would affect him.
Yeah.
You know, so I think, you know, if he hadn't have been married to her, they wouldn't have even had that conversation with him. Like, yeah, man. You
I mean, the lawyer, whoever's going to pay them, they're going to talk to them.
I'm saying is, no, I'm saying in the ways in which, like, how what happens to her affects him.
Yeah.
Like, they wouldn't be having that conversation with you. Like, hey, man, you ain't really got no ties, man. I'd walk away if I was you. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, he didn't really have that conversation. But Tracy is really insistent on meeting with his mama. And Clint just kind of comes across as like he loves that woman so much, y'all. Like he went to his mama's house. He brought that woman to his mama's house. She couldn't leave past the curb because his mom was like, "Wait, you brought that bitch here? Yeah. You brought her to my house? Like
not today, not on today.
You brought her to my house? Like I can't believe you did this. My feelings are hurt. Like you know, it's you got to be like you done upset this woman. She probably never cursed a day in her life." So for her to say, my feelings I hurt, probably cut Clint to the, like, well, to the pink meat.
I mean, I think,
oh, Keisha, skin flapping ass.
I think that, that totally distracted me. Okay, but I think that, I don't know. I think that Clint, at the end of the day, I think Clint's.
Really, Keisha? That's what we doing.
I think that Clint's mama, I think they probably ended up paying the money or whatever from the rental car and shit that she took and destroyed. Like, I think they ended up paying that money, and I think that they ended up, like, probably getting him a new phone and, like, getting him back together. And, like, they was there consoling him and shit. So I think that she really is, like, stop it. I think that she really is holding on to that.
Here's the thing. I think Tracy really, really fucked up because of his parents, his mom was the most supportive of him before, like when it first happened.
She was barely supportive.
I'm just saying, she was kind of reluctant, but she was like, I want you to be happy, son, you know, and his daddy was like, man, you crazy as hell. You know what I'm saying? Like, ain't no motherfucking way. His daddy wasn't having no parts of that shit. His mom was like, well, you know, Clint, we just want you to be happy. We don't want anything to happen to you. And then he called his mama the first time that girl left and was smoking, like, motherfucking crack. He was on the phone with his mama. So for her to turn and, you know, to turn in this way, like, yo, I don't want shit to do with that girl. Don't bring that girl around my house. This and the other. Like, for him to do that, this kind of shows how much he feels for Tracy or whatever. Although he keeps saying, like, yo, if she goes back to jail, I'm done. Like, you ain't got no choice, really, though. Like, because she probably going to be gone for a real long time if she goes back to jail again.
I think if she goes back to jail, he'll still be there.
You think so?
Yeah.
I think so, too. I don't think he's going.
I mean, he really, really, really loves her.
He loves that woman.
He's the type of person that, you know, he seems like he loves really hard he does. But he really, really hardest. Loves her.
I think he loves her harder than marble, goddammit. Like, there's no way hell you could love anybody more than Clint loves Tracy. Like, get you somebody who loves you like Clint loves Tracy.
He really loves her. And, I mean, in a way, like, that's nice, but in a way, it's also, like, their whole vibe together, like, the way that their room, their house looks, mm-hmm. and, like, the way that she looks, the way that he behaves, it just gives off, like, fucking meth. Like,
druggy just vibes.
Druggy. And it's sad to say because I think Clint behaves like he's on something, but I don't think, and this is, I am, this is a reach. I don't think Clint is on drugs. I think Clint has mental, he's mentally ill. He has some type of mental issues, and I'm not about to try to diagnose him, but he behaves like someone who has like, who's like autistic or has like Asperger's. He behaves in a way that people would assume that he's on drugs or whatever. And it has, there has been some mention that he did have a problem with alcohol, but he behaves in a way that makes it seem like he's on drugs. And she definitely behaves in a way that of someone who is recently on drugs.
And I think that her appearance kind of lends to that too.
Hers especially. Yeah. Now Clint, like, he just, to me, you know, that's not my bag, but whatever. But she rode hard, put away wet. Just rough. Okay. That is a rough woman. That is a tumbleweed of a woman.
Okay.
Right there.
We got it there.
Like, we got it there. She just is not, something is not right.
Cocaine is a hell of a drug. That's what I will say that. Because, like, one of the things when we were watching this, and the first time we were watching this, and I was on Twitter kind of talking about it, like, she's very insistent on meeting his mom and like having a relationship with his mom. And I get it, like, you can't, you want to have that nice relationship with your in-laws. It makes your relationship work a whole lot better when you can get along with the parents of your spouse, right? But her insistence, though, it's almost as if she feels entitled to this relationship with his mother despite all of these things that she's done to him and what may have cost his parents. And she's like, yo, it's very hard for me not to do drugs right now. Because, you know, I would do the drugs to kind of forget my pain, forget how lonely I feel and all these other things. And I'm feeling very hurt and I'm feeling very lonely right now. It's hard for me not to do drugs. But it's almost as if she's putting that on his parents. And that's not their bag to hold.
Yeah, I mean, I think also she does have a little teeny tiny bit, because part of the reason that the mom... That must be really hard too. If we're giving her the benefit of the doubt that right now, because she was like pretty much coming up to her last day of parole, so she's getting drug tested and whatever else. Mm-hmm. So I'm gonna just go ahead and assume that she has not been doing drugs mm-hmm. or anything like that. Mm-hmm. So to be working hard and be doing good on your parole and whatever else, and to be sober, we're assuming to be sober, and then have someone pretty much telling you, like, still treating you as if you are, like, that crackhead or whatever else, like, that probably has to be really hard, because it's like you're working hard. And to get off drugs and whatever else, like, that's fucking hard work. Mm-hmm. So to not be on drugs and stuff and then to have people still treating you like you are on drugs, like, that has to suck. But you also have to, like, take accountability. Like, you fucked up. And people, you have to allow people time to forgive you. And you have to allow people to make the choice whether or not they want to forgive you, because Alice may not ever fuck with Tracy like that.
And the thing is, and this is why I said it came across as, like, you know, and I was saying, I'm like, yo, cocaine is a hell of a drug, because it's almost as if she felt like she was entitled to this relationship with Alice. Alice doesn't owe her a fucking thing.
Right.
Like, nothing. Like, I don't have to know you. You ain't got to be at my house. My son fucks with you. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But, you know, I ain't got to do it. So, hold on just a second. And we're back. The magic of not podcasting live and shit.
Sorry if you hear outside noise. I'm hot.
Yeah, man. Gotta keep the wifey cool, baby. But, yeah, so when it comes to Tracy, though, we are talking about Tracy. I just feel like that entitlement that she has when it comes to that relationship with his mom. And I know she ties a lot of her relationship with Clint to his mom. She thinks that Clint has, you know, his mom has a very strong influence over him. But I really think that her influence over Clint could be a little bit stronger than Clint's relationship with his mom right now, because he's really going out of his way to appease Tracy right now.
Well, yeah, I think that the only thing that that Clint's parents could probably ever hold over him is they could just probably cut him off financially. Mm-hmm. I think that's the only thing that would make him be like, hold on, you know?
Yeah.
Because, yeah, like, Clint's parents, like, they live in a nice-ass house. I guess they own, like, butcher shops or something. They own a lot of businesses and stuff like that. So, like, they are pretty wealthy. And, you know, while Clint, like, lives on his own or whatever, like, after that hotel job, there has been no
No mention of another job.
Of him having to go to work in these first two episodes. So he over there. He still got the Camaro sitting there. He got this. He got his little truck. Like he, you know. So I think that's the only thing that they could really hold over him. I think, you know, I mean, he's in love. Love makes you do crazy things.
Indeed. So moving on from Clint and Tracy, we go on to Lizzie and Scott. Now, funny thing is with Lizzie and Scott's storyline for this particular episode is that like they both go out on dates with somebody else tonight. And both of them seem so out of fucking place. Like Scott is telling this woman all his business, like right off top.
Yeah, and his friend, what's the friend's name? Charlene.
Charlene.
So Charlene told him, do not lead with the ex-girl, with the Lizzie stuff and whatever else. The woman, the Scott on the date, the woman sits down. He could barely even let her sit down before he was like, yeah, my ex-girlfriend was in jail for 10 years. She stole all this money from me and blah, 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 blah. And the lady is sitting there like, okay.
Hold on. And I,
right. Like, She is sitting there like, what the fuck? And, like, she pretty much got his ass together. Like, you need therapy. You need fucking...
Hey, have a slice of this fucking crab cake, man. Like, I can't believe, like, you telling me all this. But he need... She said, man, look, he's going to be very nice for somebody. Not me. But he's going to be very nice for somebody once he get his issues worked out. Because, like, yo, Scott, he ain't over Lizzie. And truth be told, Lizzie ain't over him. But I did notice, like I said, I think Lizzie got a, like, she got a type. Like, I think she likes white dudes. I think her daughter may be biracial of some sort. She was on her date, and, like, it was weird, because, like, okay, the first time we watched this, I didn't notice that Lizzie was, like, she was spraying herself down with, like, perfume or whatever.
Yeah.
And then she went under the skirt and sprayed the cooch real quick. I was like, was she planning on doing something with my man that night? like, cause she straight told Scott, like, and Scott had like basically bankrupted himself, and she like, so we ain't having sex. I'm a born again Christian, and I just thought, I was like, oh, okay, that's what we doing. But
that's something that a lot of women
at the bar
do.
Though. You don't do that at home?
No, I would. Okay, first of all, I don't think it's appropriate. Like, you shouldn't just be spraying perfume directly on your vagina. But, like, you know,
well,
you're going
to... she was close to. I don't know
if you're going to spray up and down. You're going to spray in the area. Now, Lizzie just ratchet. And so she just fucking in the bar spraying the whatever. But they could have got a different actor to pretend that he was going on a date with her. Like, they should have got an older man.
You think he was an actor?
Yes! That was not real at all.
I don't know. Well, they convinced me.
What they should have did is switch the actor who, because at this point, like, if they're not related, they're coming in as an outside person, they're an actor. Mm-hmm. They were hired.
Okay.
So, like, I think what they should have done is switch the actor who they got to pretend he was her coworker that she was talking to. They should have switched that actor with the date actor, because that actor, the older, you know, kind of balding white man would have seemed like more like her speed, like what her motive would be. But here she is with this like fucking 20 something young millennial ass kid
who saw titties,
this like fucking college kid.
See, so the thing is, they're saying that she's meeting these guys off of these dating apps.
Yeah.
And so at first she was saying like the cheap ones or the free ones, she like, the only thing they sending you on these are dick pics. So she wants to be on like one of the paid sites or whatever. She meets this guy on one of those sites. And it was a young preppy kind of guy that showed up there. And the only reason I'm like, yo, I could see how that could become a thing, only because the young guy, he's like, oh man, like she's got her titties out. And he's attracted to that. And okay, let's see what this is about. And then she hits him with, yeah, so I was in prison for 10 years. And
I was a heroin addict.
He was like, oh, so we was in prison.
Like, he was like, because the way she speaks and stuff like that is, like, she's very, like, Valley Girl, like, yeah, oh, my God. Did. So, like, I could see him, like, kind of falling for that on the phone.
Yeah.
Like, kind of being like, oh, okay, like, she might be, you know, we could probably get along. But then, like, once you realize how she really is, yeah, like, he wasn't going for that shit at all.
Yeah, he was like, so, but she told him she was in prison, she told him she was a former heroin addict, And then, like, I think his out was, like, so are we going to split this bill? That was his out. Like, I think he knew, like, if he just, I think he knew if he said, can we split this bill, that, like, she wouldn't really want to fuck with him no more. And I would have been cool with him.
I don't even think he knew that. I think that he wasn't fucking with her like that. And from my understanding, like, that's what these dudes, like, that's what dudes do. When, you know, if you're on, like, a Tinder date or a date, you know, whatever, you just met, and then, like, y'all not feeling each other, then mm-hmm. it's kind of like, okay, so, how you want to do the bill? Like, what you want to do about the bill?
Is that what y'all doing out there, y'all? I kind of want to know. We should put that as a poll. Like, is that what y'all doing?
Okay, imagine if you go, you meet some, like, you met someone online, then you meet them for the first time, you're not uh-huh. feeling them. Uh-huh. So... y'all ordered...
It depends. So, if I ask you out, I'm only asking you out, and we're going to go someplace where I feel like I can afford to pay. If I'm asking you out. You know what I'm saying? Like, even if the date doesn't work out, I'm like, okay, so this didn't work out, but, hey, all right. This is because... we only here because I asked for us to be here. I'll pay that bill and be done with it.
I think people these days... these days are a lot, it's a lot less formal. It's more so like they talk back and forth online and then they mutually decide, let's meet up here. It's not like on some old, would you like to go on a date with me? All right, I'll yeah, man. See you at 7:30. Old as shit. I mean, nah. Nigga didn't just have a birthday.
Word, that's what we doing.
But I'm just saying, like, I think it's much more like that. But I mean, yeah, I've read a lot, especially on like Twitter and stuff, like a lot of stories of like, you know, the dude realized he ain't getting none at the end of the day. And he like, so I asked for separate bills or like, you know, stuff like that. I mean, and that's why my mama always taught me, like, even if a dude asks you out and you think he's going to pay, always have money to pay. Like never say yes to an invitation to a date mm-hmm. to somewhere that you can't pay for yourself, because yeah. you just never fucking know.
Yeah.
What?
Motherfucker will stiff you and you be in the back washing motherfucking dishes and shit.
What? I wonder what really... Actually, I do know what really happens when something like that happens. Like, your car doesn't go through or, like, you don't have any money. Like, they'll let you call somebody. Mm. Because, yeah. That has happened to me before. Like, the guy, they didn't have any money or whatever. Like...
the fuck is they doing going on?
And this is the thing. I would have had money, but, like... for so, like, you know, okay, this is a whole girl thing, but like, I had changed purses, forgot to put my wallet, so like, I didn't have anything, right? Mm-hmm. So the dude's like, oh, like, I don't have no money or whatever else. So I'm like, so what the fuck you gonna do? And so like, I asked the server, and I was like, so can I, like, what do I do? Like, can I call somebody? And she was like, you can call somebody to bring the money up, or like, you call somebody, like, they can pay over the phone with a card. Yeah, I called my daddy so goddamn quick. Like, I am out. And if you think I paid for that nigga food, I didn't. I didn't.
Oh, man.
I got right on in my little fucking Sebring and rolled the fuck out. Called my daddy so quick, like, I'm at fucking Bennigan's and I forgot my wallet. He's like, oh,
not
yeah.
The Bennigan's, like, Bennigan's still a thing.
Like, this was a long time ago. Like, oh, yeah, I see your wallet on the bed. I'm like, so can you get on your. He was like, yeah, sure, put him on the phone. He paid or whatever, left a little tip and everything. And he was like,
oh, Roscoe.
He like, okay, well, I see you home in a little bit, honey. I'm like, okay. Went back to the table. That nigga sitting there looking stuck. He like, oh, your dad paid? I'm like, yeah, for mine. Nigga. But, bye.
So here's the thing, too, though. So, like, Lizzie is on this whole thing with, like, I'm old fashioned, right? So Lizzie's like, I'm used to a man, if he can't take me out, like, you know, he should be able to pay for everything. And it really fucked her up that she had to come out of her wallet to pay for whatever the drinks was. Because he looked at the tab, was like, oh, shit, this is a hell of a lot more than I thought it was going to be. You want to go half on this? You know? And like I said, I really think he said that shit only because after she divulged to him, like, she's an ex-con and a former heroin addict, he like, I don't know if I want these problems.
I think they were trying to make it seem like also like he's a broke student or a broke little young guy or whatever too. Like, I don't think it was just him saying that because he didn't.
Here come Miss Clickety Clack. Come on, man. Oh, you gonna be a diva and stretch now, huh? That's what we're doing? I'm talking to you, pup.
Oh my god.
Come on.
But so I think that they're also trying to make it seem like, because the whole thing was just like concocted fuckery. Like, it just was not, it just wasn't right.
Yeah, man. So we coming up on the next episode.
No, we didn't talk about Andrea and what's his name? The black lady. The Mormon lady, Andrea.
Oh,
Andrea.
Shit. Yeah, I forgot all about that ass. So, yeah. Andrea and Lamar. Lamar gets out of jail, right? And Andrea is like, she's really going on and on about, like, she's disappointed that he went back to jail. The kids are really fucked up about the fact that he went back to jail. He comes out and she's like, she calls him up like, no, I'm sorry.
He calls her.
He called her like, where you at? And she like, oh, I'm at the crib. Oh, no, I'm at home or whatever. And he like, what you doing at home? And like, I'm outside of the payphone waiting on you. Like, you need to be up here. She right up the street.
Yeah, she can see him.
Right. So, you know, he sees her or whatever. He walks over there like, they got my baby or whatnot. And they hug and kiss or whatever. And he gets in the car. He like, so what's up with my car though? And she was highly upset at the fact that this nigga was asking about this Mercedes Benz that he managed to buy himself when he got out of jail the last time.
Yeah.
Do you think she was overreacting?
Yes. Because it's not as if that's not the first thing he said to her. Like, they hugged, they had a whole fucking moment. He was like, I know you're mad, I'm so sorry, like, I missed you, gotta see the kids, like, whatever else. Like, they had a whole fucking moment, and then, like, they get in the car, and he's just like, oh, like, where's my car?
Right.
Like, that's a regular thing to fucking ask.
I thought you were gonna drive my car. Like,
that's a regular thing to ask, especially, and then this is before we know what the fuck kind of car it is. So then, of course, like, we see the car, and I'm like, oh, well, now I really know why he's fucking asking. I'm sitting here thinking he asked an inquiring about the damn car she got him the previous season. It was some like little, you know, whatever, you know, old car or whatever else. Like, of course he asked about his car. He done worked hard and got himself a little Benz or whatever else.
Now, check it. She told this nigga she sold his car. And so, like, he like, yo, man. Like, and it's something about the way West Coasters, man. They say, she sold my core. My core. I worked hard for that core. I don't know what it is about y'all West, out on the West Coast. I fucks with y'all heavy. Y'all fucks with us heavy. But, yo, man, the way y'all say car, funny as hell to me. It's almost like the Chicago car. Because in Chicago, we say car.
Y'all say a lot of things in Chicago. That's a whole other can of worms.
So, yeah, he's uptight about the car or whatever because she told him she sold the car. And, like, she's really, really going in on the fact that, like, this dude went back to jail, how disappointed she is in him, how disappointed the kids are in him going back to jail. But I don't know if she's putting on for the cameras or what, but it's as if she doesn't really understand, like, it wasn't really a thing for him to go back to jail. It's very easy for him to do that, considering his status at that particular point. Like, you can go to jail for a whole lot of shit that don't even really have to do with you doing anything. Like I go back to Calvin when my brother got out of jail, and he was like, yo, I can't be in a car with you. Like, he knows that I got a license to carry a gun. He's like, I can't be at your house. I can't be in a car with you if you got a gun on you. Now, if I just decided to say, fuck it, and just ride in the car with my brother, and he doesn't know I got a gun in the car with me, despite the fact that I'm licensed, he goes back to jail. And it sounded as if something similar was happening with Lamar, where, like, he was in a car with somebody, they had a firearm on him, and because of his particular parole status, he goes back to jail because of that.
Yeah.
And it's like, she didn't give a fuck about that. Like, oh, we're so disappointed in you. Like, he really fucked up.
I think also it's very interesting. She is putting on and making it seem like them kids really fuck with him.
Mm-hmm.
And them kids don't like that nigga at all.
No.
Like, in her, the part that I had missed when we first watched the episode was when she was saying that her daughter had, like, this real special bond with him and this, that, and the other.
Yeah.
And so, like, that's why she was acting out. That, I think that's a lie.
I think it's bull. I think a lot of it is bull. So, there was a part in this particular, was it the last episode or this episode where she talked about her daughter saying she doesn't trust black men?
That was this past episode.
That was this episode? Yeah. Like, they're in the grocery store and she's talking with her friends back in Utah. And she's like, yo, she said that she doesn't trust black men because Lamar went back. And I'm just like, man, y'all are really, really, really laying it on thick. That she, like, as if they're separated from being black. You know what I'm saying? I'm just like, I don't really like this vibe that they're putting out with her and her kids.
And it's very interesting that as the episodes continue, more and more stuff keeps coming about her, coming out about her. First, for example, they're not originally from Utah. Andrea, whatever. She's not originally, she's from Texas, Houston, okay. Texas. It came out that a while ago she had said that the reason that she moved to Utah or whatever, and the reason that she joined the Mormon church was pretty much for, they had promised her like childcare and like community and like, if you live in Utah, pretty much everything to do like for kids and stuff is involved with like the Mormon church, like not necessarily actual church services, but just like camp and weekend outings and bowling and sports, yeah, and stuff like that. A lot of that has to do with the church. And so she had admittedly said that she joined the church because she got, they promised her like childcare assistance and like help with her kids and stuff like that.
Right.
So I think, like I said last week, I think her, the way that she actually is and where she's from kind of slips out. But I think that for her kids, because kids are quite impressionable and kids just want to fit in. So I think that her kids behave the way that they do because that's truly what they believe. That's truly how they feel. Like, I don't think the kids are acting or putting on. I think she is. Mm-hmm. I think the kids don't fuck with him at all. They don't like the decision. They don't understand why they had to move to California behind this fucking nigga that's going to jail. Now right. that, like, they go from, like, while, yes, they did live in a fucking apartment in Utah, but an apartment in Utah is much different than a fucking apartment in Compton or wherever the fuck they live at. Mm-hmm. It's a whole different environment. They've pretty much just been uprooted from, you know, everything right. that they know and they love.
I can definitely understand that.
From a conservative, like, kids right now, you know, that's like, they're in a conservative community, a religious community. They have a certain group of friends. They do certain things. They speak a certain way. And then now all of a sudden they're moving to California behind this nigga that is completely different. It'd be one thing if he was a black man that was also from Utah or also understood them and the way that they are. Mm-hmm. But the two don't understand each other. They're from completely different places.
I get all of that. I guess the thing that bothers me the most is that, like, they associate the pathology with him being with being black. And that's the thing that bothers me the most about this entire thing is that, like, so when she gets on here, she talk, you know, my daughter says she can't trust black men after the way Lamar treats me, or like him going back to jail. I'm like, wait a minute. This ain't a black population problem. Y'all got issues within y'all own damn family, but it's portrayed in a way in which, I just kind of feel like they just like kind of pumping this little stereotype out. I'm not really like, I'm not here for it. I'm just like, yo, this some bullshit right here.
It is as if she's behaving like, my mom always like jokes when people like that, like, do they know that they're black? Mm-hmm. Like, or like, those people must not have no mirror in their house, because the way that she moves and behaves is as if she is really putting on like she is a white woman, a white Mormon woman from Utah. Mm-hmm. Like, let's not forget, like, you are a black lady. Like, you, your weave, your kids, your face full of makeup, your tight dresses and whatever else. Like, you are a black lady from Texas. You just happen to have joined the Mormon faith and whatever else. But, like, don't forget who you really are.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's episode two, y'all. Of the Life After Lockup recap. We're going to get on up out of here. But before we do, baby, got a question for you. What are you looking for most in episode three?
I'm not looking for anything.
What stories are you looking for? What do you think is going to advance more?
I wish that they would just go ahead and get this like little Megan seeker out here, and that don't fucking drag it until the last damn episode like they did last season. Mm-hmm. I wish that they'll get that out of the way. I'm interested to see this Clint and Tracy go to Vegas. I don't know if that's coming in this episode. I know that's coming soon.
You think they'll meet up with Marcelino and Brittany?
No. I don't. I think Marcelino is not fucking having that. Although that would be funny to see, like, Marcelino just fucking cut into Tracy.
Oh, man. Because
that nigga be so fucking calm and smooth with it. Like, I could just see him just cutting into her. Uh-huh. But I think that would be interesting. Or to see Brittany beat Tracy up. but not get in trouble because I like Britney. I fucks with her. But, I mean, I think that'll be interesting to see them go to Vegas and see what's with that. I don't know if they're going to show it, but I'm interested to know if Sasha, what happens with Sasha and if she's going to go to jail or if we're going to know anything about that and like how that's going to affect Britney.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, could really care less about Andrea and what is his name?
Lamar.
Don't care. Just don't care about what the fuck goes on with them.
Okay.
But yeah.
I think I'm looking forward to seeing what fuck happens with Michael, Sarah, and Megan. I'm wondering, like, if I'm really hoping they don't carry out this secret like this fucking long. Like, she's like, it's not the right time to tell him right now. Like that kind of bullshit, like teasing it.
Yeah.
I hope they just go ahead, like, nip that shit in the bud. You know, like, oh, all right, this is what this is. What I'm really looking forward to though is the fight between Marcelino and Britney's baby daddy.
Oh.
Cause they had a preview shot of both of them squaring the fuck up. And I'm trying to figure out what this has to, like, why they would be squaring up. Because Britney's baby daddy it seemed like he was very accommodating to Britney and Marcelino when it came to her son and everything else. And it just seems to me like Marcelino is more threatened by anybody that Britney has had an association with. So I really want to see how that plays out. What the fuck led up to them squaring up? That's what I'm looking forward to for episode 3. But it's time for us to get on up out of here. Before we go, let me remind you guys how to get in touch with us over here at the Baywatch Podcast. Let your voice be heard. Go ahead and hit up the hotline at area code 313-288-0485. That's area code 313-288-0485. Leave those voicemail messages. We'll replay them on the show and respond to you right here. You can also email us here at feedback@thebaywatchpod.com. That's feedback@thebaywatchpod.com. Leave us those emails, and of course, we'll read those emails here live on the show. You can follow me on Twitter. My name on Twitter is Mr_Span, and my wife's Twitter is?
Podcast Bay.
Go ahead and follow us there. Chop it up with us throughout the week. You can also go to www.thebaywatchpod.com. You can listen to replays of the show. You can vote. You can rate the movies that we watch and review on the show. You can leave your comments there. You can donate to the show as often as you like, as much as you like. And, of course, we appreciate every dime over here at the Baywatch Podcast. You can also leave us a 5-star review on iTunes and or Stitcher Radio. 5 stars are the ones that get read here live on the show. We really do appreciate everybody who does that. And we're going to get on up out of here. We will talk to you guys again next week. But until next time, fam, peace.